How many appreciate the love of God? Amen? The love of God, the power of God is here today to remind us of His goodness and His mercy. Well, today we're going to have a short message. Can you believe that? They've kind of threatened to have Ken Goffin stand behind me with one of his cattle prods and make sure that it got done in time, but we're gonna have a short one now. I appreciated Pastor Mike Cassell last week. Didn't you appreciate his message? Amen. And I asked him to do that. That's what I was going to do last week, and he filled in, did a wonderful job. I really appreciate this brother and his family. We all appreciate them coming to Calvary. And I'm not trying to redo his message, but I really wanted to do a short devotional called Dip and Die. It's an illustration that I enjoy so much. It's probably the best illustration of water baptism that I have ever heard by Rick Renner. I'm sorry about that. Too many Ricks with R's for their last name or something. Yeah. So here we go. Dip and die. Now, Jesus told us, Matthew 28:19-20, this is the Great Commission, the Great Command, is to go and make disciples. He said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority is His. And He said, therefore, you go and you make disciples of all nations. Now, notice He didn't say just make converts. Somebody say amen. He said, make disciples. Now, when people believe on the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you believe that He died and paid the penalty for you and for your sins on Calvary, that His innocent blood was shed for your guiltiness, that He redeemed you when you believed in His name and accepted Him as your Savior, then the journey, the discipleship journey begins. Salvation is not just a one-time event, but it's a lifelong process of us being saved, of us being transformed by the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God transforming and changing us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And He said, make disciples. Disciples simply means this, is that we are growing in the disciplines of the Christian walk, that we're obeying God's Word. His Word is given to us, the Word of God. And so we go and we make disciples of all nations, Jesus commanded. And He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And He said, teach these new disciples to obey. Say obey. Obey. Teach them to obey all. Say all. The commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we know the commands of God are given to us. How? We are given to us in the Word of God, in the Bible. And so we learn all that Jesus began to, when He was born. We know that He walked on the earth, that He taught, and He preached, and He brought good news. He healed the sick, raised the dead even. And then He was crucified for our sins, paid the penalty of our sins, was buried in the tomb the third day, rose victorious over the grave. And so Jesus said, you teach them what I taught you. The 3 to 3.5 years He spent with His disciples, with the apostles, walking and listening. He was listening to them teach. He poured His life into them and prepared them for ministry. Now you go and you teach others. So starting from that original 12, which went down to 11, then another one was added. So the 12 apostles and the church was born and grew in discipleship. Now, Water Baptism Sunday is an important Sunday. You know, we have this because we believe that the command of Jesus is worth obeying. Somebody say amen. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. Now, Rick Renner, as I said, Rick Renner is a pastor in Moscow. He was originally, I believe, a missionary, but he went and he started a church in Moscow, and he became a Russian citizen so he wouldn't have to leave when persecution came and they would throw the foreigners out. So he's a Russian citizen, and he loves the Lord with all of his heart. He planted a church there and multiple other churches, has a huge mega church in Moscow. And he wrote a book called Sparkling Gems from the Greek, and I get this illustration from his understanding of the Koine Greek language, which is the New Testament is written in. And Rick Warner, many years ago, had a discussion with his staff, his pastoral staff of this huge church in Moscow, about whether it was wrong to dye Easter eggs for the annual Easter celebration there. Now, in the Russian Orthodox Church, Easter eggs are a very big part of their tradition. And so it's therefore he wanted to include the Easter eggs, he himself, and was telling his staff about this, in their celebration in order to help those who were transferring from the Greek or from the Russian Orthodox Church into the Protestant Church, their new Protestant surroundings. So his goal was for the children's ministry to dip and to dye and decorate several thousand Easter eggs as a ministry for the children's ministry to do this, and one for each member of the congregation. And then in a public ceremony on Easter Sunday to publicly present them on the stage to the church before giving one to every person who was in attendance on that Easter Sunday. So it was a huge undertaking. And there was this disagreement among the staff about whether this was encouraging of pagan practice or not. Now, he was the lead pastor, so I'm sure his decision... I don't always get my way, though. That's why when we built this church, we were going through it, and Pastor Mike said that there was a room built just for me. And when I inquired what it was, he said, it's the cry room. he went into, because the children were presenting the eggs on the stage, Rick knew that a special presentation would attract the unsaved parents for the service, which was his goal. Okay, to attract unsaved people to the service, which we should all do. We should all be about the Lord's business. We should all be about making disciples. We should all be about introducing our Savior, Jesus Christ, to other people. Amen? To those that are lost. And so this outreach on this Easter was intended to reach the parents of the children who were coming to church there. And so some of Rick's staff were feeling that they were caving in to the pagan practice and compromising on truth. And while Rick was preparing his message for Easter, he pulled his Greek New Testament out. He's an expert in the Koine Greek language, as I said. And the Koine Greek language, for you who don't know, is what the New Testament was written in. And it's a dead language. It died within, I believe, the first 100 years of the apostolic church, of the first century church. And so none of the meanings have been exaggerated or have grown in different other meanings, like the English language. And so they have a specific word for every word, so everything is perfectly clear. So the Greek language is settled. God's word is settled. Aren't you glad God's word is settled? And so as he began to dig more deeply into the Greek word meaning for baptism, which he did know, but he restudied, which is called baptizo. And it literally means that there is a remission of sins, including a release from your sins. Not just the forgiveness of sins, but the release of your captivity to sin and to death. And so, the Amplified Bible says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of and release from your sins. How many know that God not only forgave your sins, but he wants to deliver you from your sins? You don't have to live the way you used to live. This is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is he not only saves you, he not only forgives you, he not only prepares a place in heaven for you, so when you leave this life and you go there to spend eternity with him, but he gives you an abundant life. So when the Spirit of God and the Word of God begin to change your mind, begin to wash your mind, begin to cleanse you from the inside out, that you begin to think differently, you begin to act differently, you begin to speak differently. You become a new person because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it says, repent, turn away from your sins, turn towards God, be baptized, identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead for the forgiveness of and the release from your sins. And I love that. Amen. Now the Greek word for baptize, amen. The Greek word for baptize, as we said, is baptizo. It means to fully immerse something into fluid, into water. So we baptize by immersion. We go under the water. We don't hold people under the water. When they go under the water, they're identifying with the death of Jesus Christ. They're being buried as he was in a watery grave, and then they come up to newness of life, justified, all sins washed away and forgiven, new thing has taken place. You're identifying with Paul said to the Colossians that it's really a circumcision of the heart when we're baptized, that the flesh is cut away and the spirit life comes to life. Now, as we said, so what is baptism? Rick Renner says, when he talks about this, he learned that it means to dip and to dye. Here's what it describes, the Greek word. It describes the process of dipping a cloth or garment into a vat of color to dye it, leaving it a different color. Leaving it there long enough for the material to soak up the new color. I like that. Soaking up the new color. And then pulling that garment out of the dye with a permanently changed outward appearance. Permanently changed outward appearance. Water baptism is a symbolic proclamation of the fact that believers have been buried with Christ and raised with him to newness of life. When a believer is placed in the baptismal waters, it symbolizes being immersed in one condition, or color we might say, and coming out looking brand new. Brand new. In other words, it's a picture of what happened to that person when we get saved. Amen? And when we get saved, we go in one way. We come out a different way. We believe and our lives are changed. This outward symbol represents the fact that he has been dipped in, listen to this, dipped into the blood of the Lamb. And now his entire life has been newly colored and transformed to be like Jesus, to be like him. Now, Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words states that the word baptizo is a form of the word bapto, meaning to dip. So, we go under the water, right? And was used among the Greeks to signify the dyeing of a garment or the drawing of water by dipping a vessel into another. Now, Vine sets forth the noun form as follows, baptisma. Baptism consisting of the process of immersion or submersion or the emergence from bapto to dip into the water. And you go down one way, you come out different, and you come out changed. Now, let me just say this, and I know Pastor Mike already did this, but you don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you are saved. It's going through the process of identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection, something that has already happened inside of you. The circumcision, as Paul said it, made without hands. In other words, it's the hand of God that goes into your life and circumcises your heart, cuts away the flesh, the old life, the flesh that has died when you got saved, and the spirit comes alive. You have a new beginning. Now, Romans 6:4-7 says this, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless and that we should no longer, listen to this, that we should be no longer slaves to sin because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. I love that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 puts it this way. Paul says, therefore, if anyone, notice that God is an equal opportunity savior. He loves everyone. He created all human beings to be equal in life. And we all were born into sin because of the sin from the garden. And so, therefore, anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, one rendering is that all things are passing away. Not only have they passed away, but they are passing away, and all things are becoming new. We are in the process, once we get saved, we are instantly declared righteous and justified, instantly sanctified, cleansed, and washed in the eyes of God, and we are continually being cleansed and washed. The continuous work of regeneration. The Spirit of God is working with us. So, you know, somebody says, Pastor, I know you're not perfect. Well, whoopee-dee, you know, you aren't either, you know. We can look at our spouse, and we know that our spouse isn't perfect, except my wife thinks I'm, you know, well, anyway. But we're in process of being changed. But the one thing that does happen is we are instantly declared righteous by God. Instantly. And when he looks, I want you to hear this, when he looks at us, he does not see your sin. When you are a believer, when you have trusted Christ as Savior, he doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you as a saint because he sees you through the lens of the blood of his Son. And you are declared righteous and holy before God. You say, but I'm not. Well, you are in process of becoming like him as you continue to walk with him and grow in your faith. And God sees you as perfect because Jesus Christ paid the penalty once for all for your sin. And you are washed and you are clean. So therefore, if anyone's in Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I'm going to close with this. Somebody say, praise God. But how many know that I have multiple closings? So I want you to hear this. Baptism follows after we repent and believe. In other words, If you were baptized as an infant, you say, well, I was already baptized, Pastor. Well, did you make a choice to do that? Or did your parents make a choice, or your guardian, or your grandparents? See, you didn't know what you were doing. We become, as we grow physically and in an age, we become aware that we are a sinner. We become aware that we have a need of a Savior. When we hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicts us and draws us to Christ, draws us to the cross so that we can repent and receive Christ as Savior. And so we must be baptized after we repent and after we believe. And secondly, water baptism is Jesus' command and the practice of the apostolic doctrine. It was the practice of the early church. It was handed down to us. And believers, thirdly, believers are baptized by full immersion into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit according to the instructions and the command of Jesus Christ. How many know that his word is indisputable? Others come along and say, but no. Jesus said, amen? Jesus said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thereby identifying in his death, his burial, and his resurrection to new life. So I'm here to tell you today, the good news is that God loves you. We sang about it. We worshiped. We praised him about it. Because of his amazing love, his reckless love that went after us, even when we didn't deserve it, he came after us. We didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, but he loved us anyway, and he saved us when we believed in his name. And I'm here to tell you today that you, if you are here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you can accept him as your Savior today, and you can be saved. What do we mean by that? You can be saved from the judgment to come. You can be saved from your sins. You can be redeemed and set free. If you're in bondage today to your sin, you can be emancipated by the power of God. The power of God is here today.